Hi guys, this is the Coffin Controller Podcast. I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Shadi Desai.
I'm Brad.
I'm Saeed.
We actually have a new Saeed in the room with us today. Someone else that we were like, you know what, come and be in the studio with us and just be quiet. We don't want to hear any more of you. We have Mo in the background.
Hey Mo.
Hello Mo. Today we are covering...
Mo said hi, in case you didn't hear.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a mic. Yasin. He doesn't have a mic.
Shadley in this damn mic. So today we need to catch up on Comic-Con. But before we even get to Comic-Con, this is the disclaimer, is that Aiden is our friend. If you saw the video of Aiden being mean with us, to me, to my face, it was just a joke, guys. Aiden is an actor. It's called comedy.
Yeah, he's lying. He got that call from Netflix. They were like, yo.
Yeah.
They're hating our bra. They're online.
Yeah.
Fix it.
They were like, if you want a job ever by Netflix, you must have your
pick. We got a cease and desist. They were like, no, guys, stop this now.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, so, Saeed, how was Comic-Con?
I walked a lot. I spent more than I thought I was going to. And it was very hot.
What did you buy?
I just mainly bought stickers and prints. And I bought one loose Funko of She-Hulk.
A loose Funko?
Yo, yeah. Imagine.
It was like, it was cheap. And I put them loose on my shelf, so I felt like, why pay extra 200 Rand for this thing?
Not a bad, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
Nice.
And you?
Yeah, it was cool. I wish I was there for more days. I was only there for Saturday and Wednesday.
Were you there on Sunday?
I was there for like an hour on Sunday.
Oh, doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't really count. So the life commitments got in the way. And obviously Monday and Tuesday being normal work days.
Which is also very weird there because I was there on the, we were there on the Monday. And at like 2 o'clock, I got there around about 2 o'clock and people were in full cosplay while other people were like coming out of work. Yeah, so it was almost like a sad cosplay because they're just walking around, just floating, going, look at me and my son.
You know, it would have been funny if they came from work in cosplay. Then you're like, You're very committed to like having to call me God.
Yeah. I was there on the Tuesday and it was very weird because I was, the last time I was there before the Tuesday was the opening day. Where it was bustling. It was insane.
Yeah.
Then Tuesday, it's like quiet and it felt weird. And I was like, yo, I feel like if I was a vendor that day, I would have felt like I wasted my time being there for at least that first few hours.
They could have started at like 1 o'clock maybe.
Yeah, because by the time we left, it was when it started heating up. Yeah.
Okay, so at least it was a bit busy.
Yeah, but also like it was perfect for me because I didn't want like to be around a lot of people. But I also felt like if that was the first day you went, it would have been a letdown. Because there were people in cosplay.
Was tickets normal price?
I think so.
Yeah. I feel like Monday and Tuesday, everybody smuggled tickets. Yeah. Like no one bought tickets for those days.
Yeah, they made a plan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the cosplay had also like a bit of a... It was weird because there was like people that you could see were like... There was school children there also. And I got there and I was like, why is Lads playing Fortnite like here now? Like, and then they were like, no, this is our esports team. And I was like, we came to Comic-Con. And I was like, okay, Kwai.
That's
they
good
coupled,
for them.
They coupled.
Yeah,
for them. That's
Decker.
And you, Shadley?
I'm not even finished.
Oh, sorry. Tell us more.
No, so I loved it. I loved the full days we were there. I think Saturday was like my like one day of experiencing the con as a whole. Do you know what I mean?
Last year.
I wasn't there last year either.
Oh, snap.
We went to Joburg in 2019, but Cape Town, I wasn't there last year and loved it, man. And obviously Wednesday, you'll see later on or hear later on in this episode why we were upstairs in a small room in the back kind of thing, or a big room, I guess. Saturday was like my only real like Comic-Con experience day and I loved it.
Yeah.
So much fun just walking around talking nonsense with people and checking what people have to sell and... I like locked eyes with a few Funkos that I wanted to buy. And then Wednesday, when we were done with our interviews, we went down to the Funko section and some of them had been moved into the 150 Rand section, nice. Which was very cool.
Oh, lovely.
And then I got the Mew Funko, which I thought was really cool. I'd never seen it before.
It is a dope
one. It looks like Mew's like floating because it's on a see-through stand kind of thing. I think that's the only thing I bought actually.
I bought the Batman one on the first day.
Oh, I bought a Batman one on the first day.
I was the first one to buy something. Yeah. Forgot about that. I bought first. I was like, no, I was next to this, but I already bought that.
That's true.
But also Saturday felt like the postcard of what Comic-Con should be.
Yes.
Like it, and it's wild because it wasn't built up. Because normally there was like the Thursday, Friday, and then the Saturday is the big day. Yeah. Saturday just started off with like, we packed.
Yeah, but if you set the benchmark, like, hey, like that's Saturday.
Charlie, there's the mic. Don't look at me and speak. Look into the camera and speak.
It set the benchmark like really high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you start off, it was vibing. From the time that we got there, it was busy.
Yeah.
It was packed. You know, it was liquor.
Even me, I got there early. Like, I got there, like, doors opening.
Yeah.
And then I went and sat, like, right in front for the Veronica Taylor, like, panel thing, which was cool. But even from, like, doors opening, it was pumping, like, proper. It was really, really cool.
Just for next year's Comic Con, if I can, it's like, just to the sponsors. I know you're still not listening, but can we get X or Dove to sponsor the event, Canela? Because some of those damn cosplayers need to learn what underarm is. Then they also need to crank up the aircon just a bitchy more, because there was, I wonder how many people do you think they got in the on that Saturday? Because it was full the entire day.
No, it was packed.
At least 15 people.
At least, just at the bare minimum. Then also, I saw way too many Indiana Jones dress-ups. White boys must not be comfortable with a whoop. Can I just put that out there already? All of them are white boys. All of them are like, duh, 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 duh. No, stop it, Kak. There's other costumes you can wear.
Yeah, since ancestral jeans were like triggered.
Yo, who's this? They could have dressed up as this. This is a chino and a vessi. You don't need a whoop for any of the outfits.
They sell this whole outfit at Woolworths.
Right now. You can.
I think I have it.
It's part of the winter collection.
And you can get like the gun straps and that crazy store for like 20 rand.
Please, guys. We need other, what do you call it? Then I love the cosplays were dope.
Yeah.
Because people came in. Some people like mimicked the full outfit down to the T. Then others came with like the variations of like Zombie Mario and all this other nonsense. But then there were also like the hijabi cosplayers, which was also quite to see that they were also included in the, like they made the outfit halal.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, quite. It's not like a thing, what do you call it?
It's not an issue now, like, oh, you're doing this. That's not actually the character. It's like, nah, do whatever you want to.
I think the cosplay community was very dope in that sense of they accept everybody of every shape, size, color, variation. Like, just come as who you want to be. And, what else is the gaming was also really dope. The Red Bull,
that Street Fighter 6 competition was so cool.
The winner basically you represent the country.
Yeah, in Paris next year, hey?
That's wild. That's, or later that's this year. Mad.
From playing games, guys. Play games, got your jobs.
Don't you wish now that your parents didn't tell you not to play so much games?
I think our wave of parents was the parents to say no. It's the younger ones who was like, no, we see a future in this thing.
Yeah.
There's something here for you.
But also they cared less about their children. That's why they let them play games more.
But also Shadley went overseas to play Yu-Gi-Oh! So it's like...
That's also true.
It's sort of similar in a way. It's not like the Red Bull Kumite thing, but it's...
It's something.
It's still...
I was the benchmark.
I'm still freak mad and I can't believe this, but I doesn't talk about it more.
That's also
like,
true.
I would talk about it all the time.
If, it should be in your
if
bio.
I went to another country because of a card game, but I will never stop talking about it.
Then that thing of, I was going to speak, we'll speak about it in the other episode anyway. But yeah, we've lined up three interviews for this episode with Victoria. She's the voice of
Veronica
I'm so glad you weren't there for the interview, because you would have been calling her Victoria the whole time.
You know, every time in the lead up to this interview, Yasin was like, Victoria.
I'm just going
to
get it wrong for everything.
And we're like, please, Yasin. Then he was like, okay.
Victoria Mars.
Our interview's been delayed. I have to go. It's fine. You guys do it. So like this is why this is why this happened.
I was booted from, and then we got two dope interviews from One Piece. But
Aiden,
that's
Aiden, a proper interview from Aiden.
You'll be able to see his real personality, and I feel like that's all that we should cover for this episode.
And I think the cool thing, just quickly, about the two One Piece interviews were those were not arranged, those were not pre-planned. We just saw them and asked them. Yasin, you had worked with Aiden once before in the past, right? And then you guys kind of reconnected?
Yeah, I actually didn't. You know, when he saw me, I didn't even know who he was. It was genuine, guys. Yo.
Aiden,
We worked on that. We spoke about it in the episode. It's fine. We'll cover it.
I was big timing one of the people on the most viewed Netflix show of all time. He's just like,
But it was just so cool that they were like just down to come sit with us and talk shit.
Everybody that we met was cool.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody that followed, that came to talk to us.
Just hold on. Sorry. You said about everybody we met was cool. There's one thing I have to say, which I still don't understand. I still don't get. No?
Here we go.
We were walking after we left you guys when you were waiting for Veronica Taylor.
Yeah.
We're walking. This guy comes to Yasin. He's like, Yasin, can I get a photo, please? Yasin's like, sure. Okay, cool. That bro asked somebody walking, can you take a photo of us? That person says no. When has it ever happened in your life?
That
somebody's like, no, I don't want to take a photo for you. But I was like, a photo.
That's hilarious.
Also, the place is full. You're not moving 5 steps in that time.
But that bro literally just said no. I was like, what?
That's actually a very good point. Not everybody was cool.
Like. Nah. He probably had a bad experience where somebody told him, you take cack photos. And he's living with that trauma to this day.
You're actually right. Fuck that guy. If someone asks you to take a photo for them, take the photo. It's no.
They're not asking you to be in the photo.
But again, back to the followers. So the followers and the people that view us and the people that showed us love and the people that comment and the people that shared everything. The weekend was success for us because we got to meet with you guys.
For sure.
The weekend was success because you guys came and showed love that in the real world. Because we all live online. The fact that you made it into the real world and showed the love, we appreciate you so much.
Do you know how mental it is like meeting you guys? You guys coming up to us and being like, oh, you're those guys from Coffee and Controllers. Can I take a picture? Mm-hmm. And I just like, I know a lot of you are shy. I'm like, I'm shy too. Yeah, like,
dope.
I was, don't worry.
I mean, you got my last weekend in the pilot one.
Pilot T.
Yeah, Pilot T came. He was in the chain next. And then we had the whole cut. We were talking about the show in Comic-Con as well. Anyway. That's all we have time for.
We got 3 dope interviews lined up for you.
Enjoy.
So today we are here with
Chioma Umela.
Famous from
The Woman King, Isono, and One Piece.
Ooh, stack titles over here. The new queen.
Boom, boom, boom.
So you're here with Comic-Con under the One Piece.
Under the One Piece banner, yes. I played Nochiko on One Piece.
How's it been? How's Comic-Con been?
Comic-Con has been amazing. This is my first Comic-Con ever. So I'm so impressed to see all of the cosplays and like the art and just the show out.
What is the thing? The people that came.
The people that came. Thank you. My English airtime ran out of the day. It's been happening all year. That's the thing. So yeah, it's been really cool. Like the inner kid in me is very happy.
Have you seen kids dressed up like you?
No, I have not. But I have seen a lot of kids dressed up as Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender, and I was obsessed. I even ran up to one girl, like I was a fan, like, oh my god, can I please take a picture with you, because it was so cute.
I'm sure she was like, wait, but you
she was like, who the hell, I don't want to talk to you.
Shadley, your mic, you must keep the mic. You see that when you see,
you
she,
see that
when she lifts up the mic, she lifts up the mic like Whitney Houston. This is
Whitney Houston.
You got your Whitney Houston.
I wish I could sing like Whitney Houston. If I could sing, y'all would not hear me. You wouldn't, like, I couldn't shut up.
I wouldn't speak. If I could sing like Whitney,
I would sing every note that I speak.
Yeah, but you can.
But I can't. It's not the same. No. It's not the same.
No, we heard now.
She's being humble now.
Can I get a milk and a bread? You went full out with like the.
Coming for Tyler's bag here. I'm like, I'm also pretty from Joburg.
Make me petrol. It's more expensive than water, guys. This economy. Have you done the panels already?
I have. I think I just finished my last one.
How did it go?
It went amazing. We did a little bit of improv on stage. I sound so excited about that. Yeah. But other than that, like, it was really cool to hear from the fans as well. There were lots of like fan questions and just stories that came through. And yeah, it was really
special.
What was
the weirdest question that you got? Have you gotten any weird questions? Or like ones where you go, you guys haven't done the research yet?
Okay. The ones where like people haven't done the research are the ones where like... literally, people have asked me this question before. I don't know why you're asking me this again. The answer hasn't changed. It's the same thing.
Okay. What's the boring question?
It's just like,
how did you get into
it? How did you get into acting? Kind of thing.
Okay, give us the TLDR version of it, the short one.
I convinced my very...
give us the Instagram story version
of
it.
Okay. I convinced my very, very African parents to let me act instead of do lawyering and economics and whatever. You can tell I didn't go to school.
You see, if you went for the degree, you'd get more words out of this.
She took the hard route there, like converting brown parents.
That's the thing. And my dad's Nigerian, bro. And like, my dad's Igbo, my mom is Xhosa. So like, those are the two most stubborn tribes. But I always say this. stubborn plus stubborn equals me.
So, greatness.
Yeah, they got what was coming to them.
Yes, that's
but
true.
But like, technically, then it's like you fighting back. So like, then it's like, yeah, I gotta fight back against you. Like,
yo, Mike Shadley.
What? My mic is here.
You know, you're speaking like this. Okay, it's like this. Yes.
Okay, fine.
We're learning mic technique. This one doesn't even want to talk to us anymore. Okay, let's just sing the rest of the interview.
Okay, you go first though.
I can't sing, no.
Are you excited for season 2?
You know I am. Yes, I am.
Ooh. I'm thinking of the next question, but I'm singing to...
Okay. My singing bundle.
Charlie already tapped out when we started with the singing.
No connection. I got to ask a question though. Like, I'm a big One Piece fan, right? The Nami scene. You know the Nami scene? The, at the three, at the... So like just before that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Where you got Franta.
Okay, yeah.
How intense was that moment for like you? And like, how did you handle that? Because that... I mean, like, people are waiting for that whole moment to explode.
Yeah.
That was, like, the crux of, is this going to work or not?
You know, that was actually weird for me because, like, getting into the full tea, obviously, in the original IP, my character always knew what Nami was doing, you know? And so, like, I was now playing a new interpretation of their dynamic. And so I started to bring in that sister... Like, I still think of her as a sister, you know, but I'm angry at her. And I feel like she's connected to our mother's death in some way, shape, or form. So it's very interesting to play. Emily was great. She was fantastic. It was great to play her. I had to conjure up a lot of anger to get to where Nojiko was feeling. You know, I'm not a shouter. And Nojiko's very much a shouter. I feel like in that scene, she was like, I'm going to tell you your... And
say the words. Say all the words.
I'm gonna tell you your poos. And yay. Like, it's one my favorite piece. South African word.
The piece that they're speaking about is poos.
So yeah, it was really hectic. But like, she also gave me permission to just go at it. So yeah, it was cool.
No, because you guys killed that scene. Also, we had Sean Worth, one of the stuntmen, on our podcast. Tell us what he's really like. It's now.
Yeah, it's let's say Tom Sean.
Okay, let's hit on him. Bro, why is his hair so good, bro? And that mustache, whatever. Like, what's
facial hair on point? What?
Bro, and then the muscles. Who walks around like that? The fuck?
And he's still a nice guy.
And he's nice.
Yo, be bad at something, bro. Like, it's annoying. A lane.
Try hard.
He comes to our podcast, and then he looks better than all of us, and he's professional.
In
and
my
like,
mind, that's disrespectful to you guys.
It is. Yes, it is. Also, why are you looking good on audio? It's just audio, bro. We don't need to see your face. Why are you looking good?
And then he's... We're a gaming podcast. But yeah, we're fans of One Piece. And then he comes and he's like, yeah, I'm a gamer too. I've played pro.
Pro. Like, he wasn't like, playing around. Like, he was in the leagues kind of thing.
He just comes in upstages with all of us.
He's a master of, like, everything as well. It's annoying.
He's even a master as a knockoff Tom Cruise or so.
Yes.
He's not even like a Wish version of Tom Cruise. He's like a Take-A-Lot version of Tom Cruise. It's the same. You just got it 5 days later. Choose a lane we want to hate on you.
Thank
Sean.
You. Agreed.
We just here waiting.
Yes.
Then you were talking about the anger that you had to build up for. Right. What was the moment of anger in you yesterday that you were like, I'm going to add this and I'm going to add this?
Child,
I'm gonna add this.
The thing is, I don't get angry. So I had to channel my sister because like we're yin and yang. I'm like the softy, like sad, like, I forgive you immediately. And she's like, I will burn your house down. And so I had to channel her. But like the first day, one of the first days of shoots, I had to spit at my sister. And I was spit? Well, apparently I can, but I was the first take I spat at her. I couldn't fathom the fact that I spat at somebody, that I literally caught my spit mid-air. Who the fuck does that? But I did it because I was too polite to spit at somebody.
That's
so
impressive though. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, like that's wild. You're like, I'll be so angry, but I won't go there.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's Macbeth vibes with you, like.
Yeah. It was
a moment.
If they have the footage of that, I'd love to see it. It was
that's
really wild.
Mad impressive that like you caught it. Like,
I felt so bad. That's how bad I felt at spitting at somebody.
Also,
Did you meet Oda? Because I know he's...
No, I did not get to meet Oda. I'm so sad about that. I did not get to meet Oda.
It's my goal to like find him when he's in Cape Town again. Mm-hmm. That's my like one goal. There's like no recent pictures of him since like the early 2000s.
I hope that they film both seasons together because I don't want Luffy to be old. Like Luffy to be in his 40s.
But I think Inaki's like a forever kid. Like I don't think that kid's gonna age anytime soon. He just has that spirit and like that look about him.
Oh, he's so Luffy coded.
He's so Luffy. Like
it's actually ridiculous.
It was wild being on set because I'm like, this person is a character. They could not have cast him better.
He's exactly like him. It's crazy.
So now that you've seen, I'll say all the other houses of fans, the stands have come out because you've seen them now with Comic Con. Where would you like to go next? Like to what show do you see that you go?
I want to be what next. Show? You know what? I don't want to be in like IP we know, but I want to still be in the same world of like what this is. Yeah. So I want to be in like the next Everything Everywhere All at Once or like the next Kick-Ass kind of film or like that's like what I want to do. But also I am a softie, like I said before. And so like this rom-com resurgence is so amazing to me. I'd love to be a part of it.
What about then a comic book style rom-com?
I would be obsessed with that. To be honest, that's like bringing two worlds of me together.
The Miley Cyrus.
Yes, yes.
The best of both worlds. Back to the singing, guys. It's a call back in the show. So then I'm trying to think of like what I would place you in. But I feel like when you act, you can go into the fighting, into the anger. So
yeah,
that you can
I was on the Women King. I can be tough. I can punch a guy.
Did you get punched?
No.
Did any of the stunts go wrong?
No. Actually, during rehearsal, I threw a guy, like a really big guy, and like my back pulled at the one. Like it was fine up until that one throw. I think I just lost concentration. But other than that, no.
How much training did you have to do then for?
Dude, it was like 6 months nonstop of training. And if you weren't training, we were on set doing the stunts that we were training for.
And then also getting fit to do those things or so.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show. So how long was, I'll say, build up and shooting in total?
We had like a month prep before we started shooting, which wasn't like a lot either. I mean, I think we all would have loved more, like every department, but that was the build up. And then the first shot we had was in KZN, South Africa, just in the middle of nowhere. Like we were 1 hour away from any sort of hospital or anything. And so it was like a pressure cooker, but I think it, you know, it turned out the way it did, and I'm proud of that film.
Like if you injured, it's like
it was
artist.
Yeah,
that's like, I don't know if you've heard of Monkey King, where Dev Patel got injured, but they were like on an island.
Oh yeah, they had to.
It was during COVID, and he got injured, and he just muscled his way through it. Through injury.
But I feel like Monkey King, I want to see the documentary on Monkey King.
On making also. Monkey King, that's actually, I would like to see that
because
too.
Because it felt like he went through his own struggle just to get, I feel like we're talking not about your stuff.
But for real.
But the thing of, he spent so much of his life giving that, but also to get his place in the world. Because I feel like, at any of you, I've been seeing the things of, Hollywood placed him as like a second to third level man.
Yeah.
But
he made his way up.
But we want him as a front runner. Yeah. We had him as the
see him that way.
And
it's
he won an
weird.
Oscar also.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
He's made his way up. He's made his name, I think.
No, I think the fans made his name. But the system hasn't put him
here. I agree. That's why, I have conflicting feelings towards social media and stuff, but I do feel like for actors like that and other POCs, I think even the actor that played Aladdin, his world should have changed already. And it hasn't. But the thing that keeps them, at least in the game, are the fans, is because of social media and stuff. So at least that's why we have Monkey Man, is because enough of us were pushing him, you know, to still keep him in that light kind of thing.
Then that's our time with you now.
Okay.
Thank you for just jumping. You know, we were waiting for someone else and we saw you like, do you think we can get the interview?
Of course, it's gonna be cool. I'm a fan. I've been to the comedy nights. I should have been there. I should have actually performed for you guys a long time ago, but I'm very shy.
We're gonna get you soon though.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We wish you all of the best for the future.
Thank you.
I hope that every dream you have comes real.
Amen. I receive
next,
it.
I hope you find
thank
next
you. Comic Inshallah,
Con.
Guys.
Next
Inshallah.
Comic Con, another big panel for another big movie.
Thank
That's
you.
Where we'll be seeing you.
I'll check you guys also Comic Con Johannesburg later this year. Hopefully, I'll be there.
Let's get free tickets. Hi guys, here we are with
Aiden Scott.
Aiden Scott. Mm. Aiden Scott, famous from
stuff. One Piece. I was a dude with a really bad haircut. Probably had a bit of chlamydia as well, but
just a touch.
It wasn't in the script, but that's kind of what I played into.
Was that part of like your method?
That's my process, man. That's my method.
It's pretty important to have that, to know where your character's coming from.
Yeah,
like,
man.
What's
otherwise,
happened to them.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Always
it was
coming,
it was amazing.
For chlamydia. That's
always. That's my Instagram bio at the moment as well, which is great.
Follow him for more chlamydia.
That's actually a great name for like a stand-up show, Coming for Chlamydia.
That's amazing. You can do it.
The Itchy and Scratchy Show. So, you've now fallen into a world of Comic-Con, but also a world with like a fan base and a world with, I'll say, intense fans.
Yeah.
Did you know the show before you got into it?
I had no clue, man. I'm really bad. I've never read a book in my life.
Nice.
Probably that's impressive.
It's a feat that I've continued to do for the, you know, the rest of my life.
Read scripts, not books.
That's the motto. That's how you do it. So I mean, I didn't have any idea what the world was or anything. And when it came past my, you know, on my emails, I was like a second away from quitting acting. I was like, I'm gonna become a real estate agent because this is not fun. I'm not making any money, and people are angry with me because I owe a lot of people money, and so I'm just going to start selling houses. But somehow,
keeping it real,
man. But somehow,
lose the plot.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I love how you got the. Yeah, we're with you. but yeah, man, it came across, and I'm like, cool. This looks fun. The intro was Stretchy Rubber Kid on a pirate ship. I'm like, fun. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
That's normal.
That's normal. And then. I figured from the casting director that it was a blonde guy. So I googled blonde anime character, and there's a character called Sanji, who's like one of the Straw Hats.
Oh.
He's very, very, very cool. He's like kicking stuff. I'm Sanji, man. I'm cool like a cucumber. Then she calls me up, and she's like, the guy's called Helmeppo. And so I googled the guy. I'm like, cool. That's what the rest of my life's going to be. And I did it. And I was like, I know how to do dickbag.
What you were living the you actually were method. You didn't understand. Yeah. You were actually method before you got to the role.
Yeah, man, I'm old school like that.
What training did you have to do though
for the show?
Yeah, did you how many episodes did you actually watch
of the anime?
Of the
anime. I'm gonna take the Fifth Amendment.
Also, season 2 and season 3 is not coming back.
Like, to be fair, I watched the first episode of the anime. And as soon as I saw my character, yeah. I'm like, that's all I need. Like, he comes out in a purple suit and he's just like shouting. And I'm like,
that's me.
I trained at university to do this. This is what we learned. I know how to do him. I did him.
In that moment, it was like, you knew this is my life's purpose.
Man. I always used to be a huge fan of like Draco Malfoy and like, and like Jeffrey from like Game of Thrones. So when this came past, I'm like,
who spins the assholeness, who like spins the shit.
Exactly, man.
Just makes
exactly. That's what I gravitated towards. So yeah, it was fun.
You've got the face of an asshole.
Thank you. Punch me, please.
It's not that kind of movie. So physical training. How close were you to your to what you needed to be on set, to what you were in real life before you started filming?
Oh man, I mean, I didn't have to pull any big stunts. That was, you've seen the show, right?
Yeah.
You know Zorro with the big sword?
Yeah.
That guy is insane.
Yeah.
I remember, he's like proper.
He's a proper trained swordsman.
Dude,
like,
he is insane, man. All his own stunts. I'm there on the first day. I'm like, hey, McKenyu, I'm Aiden. I live in Rondebosch. He's like, hey, man.
I love how the Rondebosch gives context to your whole life to go.
That's my personality,
he's that
man.
Boy.
You know,
okay.
He's that boy. He had no idea what it was. And I'm like, so we're doing this fight scene today. Hmm? He's like, yeah, you just. Just take the hits and I'm like, cool. So every single reaction that I have in that scene in the bar is that I'm not acting there. That's sketchless, man. Yeah, no.
That's a lifetime achievement award that goes for that acting then, because it's not. It's real.
I'll take it, man.
Did any of the stunts go too well?
If my ass is a stunt, that went a bit too well because it's all over Netflix right now, which is great. My mom's really proud of me, which is.
was that, what is it, is it part of the contract where they go, your bum must be on the screen?
Well, no, so I got the first episode and I read it. Oh no, wait, I think it's in the, it is in the first episode. So I got a couple of scenes and then my agent called me and she's like, oh, you need, you got a nudity waiver. You just need a, sorry, Nikki, hold up. What? A nudity waiver? I'm like, oh, cool. From who? From Netflix in the States. I'm like, And I don't even know what the scene is. I just signed it because that's what we do, right? We're in the same business. Yeah. You just say yes.
Why not?
Yes and, yeah. Yeah. And think later.
You're just improving your whole career, then yes and.
I was like, yeah, yes and. That's what we learn. But yeah, it was fun, man. And what was the question?
Your bum on the scene.
Oh yeah, true.
Wait, also the thing, I feel like if Netflix must ask you for things, you go, yeah.
Go for I'm in, man.
How far do you go? Are you part of the season 2 and 3 now that you...
I don't know. I mean, my character kind of lives on, right? A little bit.
I know, like his character... does make a return.
He's got a bit of a glow up.
He gets a bit cooler.
He does get a bit cool. He gets to wear a visor, which is cool, and he's a bit stronger.
Are you ready for that, though?
I don't think I'll ever be ready. I actually am ready. Do you know what was really cool is that they, in the live action, my hair started off long. Which, right, but like in the anime, it's short.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's cool that I had like a character arc with my hair. So I get to go back to the long
hair.
How
you call it the character arc. It's just character, waiting, man, for it to be longer. That's not an arc. They were like, time.
We got to explain how it gets to that.
Yeah, man.
And so now you're part of, I'll say, a stan sphere.
Uh-huh.
Where you've been with Comic-Con now and you've seen people lose it.
Mind.
Have you seen anybody in dress up as you yet?
Two people.
Oh.
And they are so special because, like, who the hell is going to dress up as me? But I've seen two people in my entire life.
They're also wearing a black jeans and a grey
jacket. A Lacoste
that's jacket. Really great.
Nice.
Yeah, which is really sweet. And schoolboy shoes.
Do they go for the long hair or for the short hair?
They go short hair. It's iconic, man. It's iconic. You actually look really good with the wig.
Thanks, I tried.
This is a 60,000 rand wig, by the way. Dude, apparently, the wig budget was like $2 million on this guy. That's insane.
But they should, though. I don't want them to have a cheap budget for weeks.
Can you imagine,
you can see when it's a...
You can freaking see, man.
I don't want to know what the makeup budget was. Dude. I'm scared. I weep.
It's, the amount of money is just insane.
Did you get paid enough, though?
I got paid $20 million. So yeah,
guys, next week's Netflix season
launches on this, man.
Netflix, I'll show my bum next week.
Okay,
guys, I got the season for the next.
You heard it here first, man.
10 million a cheek.
So did you take photos with the stands? Did they recognize you?
No, I don't know, man. I don't know. No.
I feel like you look very different.
They do recognize me, kind of. I have one of those faces where it's like you're either like my ex-boyfriend from grade 9 or that guy in One Piece. It's or like a weird in between.
You've got also that. I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Forgive me for this. You've got like...
that fuckboy vibe.
Yes, but like Baby Army Hammer vibe.
Where's your finger? No, I know, man.
Wait, it's like I go, I've seen you in... You look like I've seen you in things. Even when I saw you earlier, I go, I know you, but I've seen you in things. That's where it's all been about.
That's the niche now. You got to steal, man, his niche from him. He's on the decline. Now it's your time,
exactly,
to shine.
Man. You might have seen me. I was in Transformers 7, the musical, which we did at the Baxter Theater in Rondebosch.
I like how Rondebosch came up again.
You know what? The Transformers is a musical. Everybody just sings.
That was amazing. You're cast, man.
Are we sure this wasn't just like an EDM party?
With a lot of cobras are just lambing outside. It transforms eventually, guys, I promise.
Oh my god.
So how's the fans been? How's the response of the Comic Con?
Do you know what's the coolest thing is to, because you're a fellow actor, you. I think my first commercial that I ever did was with you, which we won't talk about, but we did
in the days before PC.
In the days before PC, where I did the Hakka.
Hakka Noodles he's talking about.
Yep, Hakka Noodles.
We don't do other Hakkas.
We don't do other Hakkas.
Yeah, since Terrified have been cancelled.
The coolest thing about this is just receiving love for your work. Because I think, you know, we're always so like isolated from each other.
That's true.
You know, like you're such a great dude on stage, but we never get to meet, and you know, it's seldom that you get to meet fans. So I think this is what's so special about this is you get to see how your stuff moves people.
It's like how the comment section comes to life.
Yeah, man.
Because it's the people that's commenting on your things going, oh, I see you and I can tell you to your face.
Yeah.
And as an artist, we are starved for attention. So it's nice when you get it in real life.
When you get it, you're like, I'll take it. I'll take it in. But really, it's been lovely, man. It's very a special moment.
If you had to be in another, I'll say, part of the stand world, where would you like to go? What other cartoon would you join?
Man, that's such a tough question.
What kind of roles would you like to take on in the future?
I don't know, dude. I like fantasy and I like sci-fi. Mm. Like, I love a bit of Star Trek. I like a bit of Game of Thrones. I like a bit of Harry Potter. I don't know. That kind of vibe, that kind of world, I think.
Something where you can be completely out of yourself.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think so. I'm interested to see how that works out.
You're also doing Amadeus now?
Yeah!
Let's play Amadeus while we're here.
Playing a little Mozart, man. Yeah, it's fun.
Are you playing Mozart?
I'm playing Mozart, yeah.
What's your favorite song by Mozart?
The one that goes like, so it goes like this. But until then, you make me know that we are here together, and it knows I'm
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for singing and signing us out. Thank you.
Thanks for
enjoy your future.
You too, man.
We're rolling? Okay.
We are so rolling.
We are on camera. Rolling. And I have the opportunity to speak to the voice of our childhood. The voice of none other than Ash Ketchum for at least like the first 8 seasons.
That's right. First 8 seasons.
Veronica Taylor. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm just super duper psyched.
So I know like Pokemon is obviously like the big one.
Mm.
But I have to ask you, like, anime as a whole got a big boost, especially in the West and here in South Africa because of Pokemon.
When you
took up that role, was that something you anticipated? What was like your thought process when you took up the role of Ash? Did you anticipate it being as big as it is today?
I don't think anyone did at all. No, I mean, I knew about anime because I watched Speed Racer also, but and I'd had worked on some anime already, but it really did take off after that. And there was so much more. There was much. I lived in New York and there was much more in New York. And now most of it is in Texas, really.
Oh, really?
So it's really all shifted around LA a bit, Texas much more.
Because it is, I mean, it is now like the popular medium.
It's everywhere. So easy to get. Before you had to go to your Blockbuster video store. Yes. I don't know what you have.
No, here, so we had to figure it out through like a friend who managed to like get it. It was all like underground because it wasn't easily accessible. And I think Pokemon was definitely one of those things that
it just boosted it up.
Yeah,
right.
It took it to like sort of the mainstream, so to speak. Now, I got to ask you a sort of controversial question because you are a dub actor. Dubs or subs? What do you prefer?
You know, when I watch a movie, I definitely like the subtitles. So, but I'm not against watching that. I've not seen a lot of what I've worked on fully in the original languages. So, we didn't watch it through ever when we worked on Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or any of those shows. We just kind of jumped in. So you had the script and you watched whatever the scene was and just did it. Now when I work on anime, we often preview first and then do it. I prefer kind of that renegade style of just jumping in.
Do you think that like impacts like on like the voice performance? Because you know, if you're watching it before, there's that like preconceived notion of what the character is supposed to be like.
Right.
Whereas if you don't, you kind of create your own persona.
Exactly right. And nowadays, a lot of the dubbing, they want you to be exactly like mostly Japanese. I was going to say the original language, but most of it is Japanese. And they want you to be so exact. Like, if there isn't a breath, don't put a breath in. You know, if you're running, and with Ash, there was always like, wow, you know, all that falling. But if the original now doesn't have the running and the falling, we don't do it. So I prefer the old way where you're just kind of inhabiting the character. And in that sense, I like the dub version, going back to your question, which I went far away from. But because it's its own unique piece. And then each language is worth watching because you get something different out of it. So that's what I think.
Oh, that's actually like really amazing. Now, we're all obviously at Comic-Con Cape Town.
And which is an amazing show. Everyone should come here or in Johannesburg. It's one of the best run shows ever.
It's amazing to have you here, like talent of like your caliber here. What's that like being like on that main stage? Just people, taking it all in.
Yeah,
like,
people are so generous and kind. And I don't think anyone here, nor I or my daughter, ever thought we would get to South Africa. I don't take many vacations. I just work. And the fact that we were invited to come and we did Johannesburg last year and now we're here in Cape Town, it's like a real dream come true. So to see people and get the questions from them and just hear the exuberance, it's really amazing.
I'm glad you're like feeling like that love and like that adoration coming through, you know, from like young and old, just like that appreciation. Because like for me personally, I know for Brad as well, Pokemon was like, it was massive growing up.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those things that you made it your own. It's like part of your culture, your world. So like, and that means like you are part of like that. You brought that to life for us. But you did mention your daughter, and I have to bring this up. You have a podcast with your daughter called...
We do, yeah. The Trainer's Guide. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it is a rewatch of the first season of Pokemon. So we're going back and we watch each episode on our own, which we ask you, the audience, to do because we can't legally show anything from it. So then we talk about each episode, kind of weave through it and talk about lessons learned, bring up other things that are happening in the world that kind of correlate to that. And, you know, just talk about stuff. Sometimes we have guests on, but for the most part, because I don't know about you guys, but we record at all these crazy, weird hours and we can't get a guest for that. It's 1 a.m. in a hotel where we are. Are you available? So we mostly just, we kind of interview people sometimes at a convention and we add that in. But we ask the community to send in their memories. So you can either write in or you can record something. So we play that at the end for the Poke Wrap Up that we play at the end of every episode because Pokemon is about the community. And so we want people to be involved and share their experiences because without that, Pokemon is, it's not nothing, but it's not as strong and wonderful as it is.
I love that you like raise the fact that it's like, it's about community because it really does feel like it's that community that's really exploded globally. It's everywhere these days.
Yeah, we all connect through Pokemon. There's something that we can all relate to, even if it's just saying, oh, who's your favorite Pokemon? And then you just go on from there. I used to like so-and-so and now I, you know, and it just, you make friends that way. You find something that you have in common and then you forge a path forward with so many other things that you have in common. That's why Pokemon works around the world.
I think also with so many Pokemon that you like, you know, there's like 9 generations now?
I think so.
You know, everybody has their own favorites and that kind of forms a bit of your own identity personality. Yeah. And that's, and I think that makes it special because it's like you have those bonds to those Pokemon and that's like yours.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you, like, outside of Ash.
Yes.
Who are your 6 favorite and who are...
6 favorite people?
6 favorite Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon, okay.
And then your least favorite or, like, least or most annoying Pokemon.
Well, I used to say for least favorite Snorlax because it really didn't do anything but just block the water. And they were always going, where's the river gone? And there was a Snorlax there. But I really admire it now, so it's not... And it comes from Munchlax, and we're all always hungry. And anyway, so I don't really have a non-favorite.
Oh, okay.
I should say.
So you love them all.
I do. But my favorites probably are Pikachu. I'm now switching into Mr. Mime because we travel so much. I could really use a Mr. Mime around the house to clean, maybe pay the bills, and cook when we got in. So I need a Mr. Mime. Charizard, I'd love to fly around on. Difficult. Pikachu, love it. Difficult. Lapras doesn't have a temper, so I could go with a Lapras, float around. I could float. There's a lot of water here in Cape Town. I could use it there as long as the sharks didn't come by. What do you think? What other two should I go? I'm seeing some Pokemon on the back of this. Maybe, you know, Jigglypuff. I love what Rachel Lillis did with Jigglypuff's voice. So Jigglypuff's a favorite of mine.
I feel like Jigglypuff has become so iconic.
Really?
Just because of that the whole voice and the song.
Yeah.
Through the show.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that. Like, again, if we go back to the original like games, you didn't really get that because it was all 8-bit.
Yes, that's right.
And so you didn't really get that. And it is about bringing that to life.
Yes.
And I also think Jigglypuff would like help me get to bed on time.
Oh, that's true. But then you might wake up with marker on your face. So you'd have to get up earlier so you could wash it off. Hand sanitizer might get that off, actually.
It's fine. My kids draw on me all the time. So that's the normal thing in my household. Here's the thing. 2022, Ash finally did it. Now,
right.
I know you didn't voice Ash at this point. Sarah.
Right.
Natachini. Mm-hmm. She was voicing Ash.
Sure. The whole cast changed after season 8. So all those people were in those shows.
But what was that moment like for you? Seeing Ash finally.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I found out on Twitter, actually. I didn't know. And I also found out on Twitter that the show was, that story arc was ending. So both times it was just, first of all, Ash winning. It was like, wow, it's about time. But I really do feel like it's a win for all of us. We've been with him through thick and thin, the ups and the downs. And gosh, we made it. If Ash can do it, we all can.
We all can.
It shows you that it takes hard work and you just have to keep at it. 25 years.
Of being 10 years old.
Yes. I know. That's the 10-year-old inside all of us.
No, that's true. I mean, like, I kind of fell off the show for a while.
Yeah.
But that moment, I had to watch that moment. And it's like, you do feel some type of way because you're like,
yeah.
Oh, he's finally done it. Yeah. Like, he's made it.
Yeah.
You know?
And now he's got to reset and get some new goals.
Yeah,
nobody's going to stop at one. Like, he became a master, but what's next?
He did. You know? What would you say is next to Ash?
Well, maybe he could become a mentor or something. I mean, he's only 10, so he should probably learn how to do laundry and maybe some cooking, some like life skills.
Oh, yeah.
Other life skills than just wandering around and having Brock cook for him.
No, that's a great thing. Like,
yeah, he could teach others. I mean, he's been doing that his whole life.
Yes. I mean, he should have some decent life skills because, I mean, he's been wandering.
And he's fallen down a lot of cliffs and he swum in the water and you know, somehow gotten through a lot.
And I'm sure he's made some money off like the tournament, so he's gotta have some.
I'm not sure. There doesn't seem to be much money in Pokemon. Like, not in Pokemon. In the first episodes that we've gone back to, there was they had to pay money to buy the Magikarp. So there was some money around, but there's no real money. So I don't think he's won anything but prestige.
Have you played the games?
No.
Or do you play the games?
I haven't played any, but a little bit of Pokemon Red.
Oh, that's actually like one of my favorites.
I only have a DS, so I don't have anything to play the games on.
That's actually like one of my favorites. So what's wild to me is like when you battle other trainers, you get money. And I always just think...
Interesting.
So I always think like with real world logic, that's kind of gambling because it's
that's true. Yeah.
Always a robbery because you're beating the person and you're taking their money.
But you do get money for doing your chores at home, or you get it's an incentive.
It is an incentive.
And you do need something so you can buy some new trainers or something.
So otherwise it makes no sense. Like, are you supposed to get better? Are you supposed to buy supplies for yourself?
That's right. And food.
So you don't watch a lot of anime as a whole, or
I don't watch a lot of. No, I don't. I just don't have time. I do a lot of audiobooks. So I'm always prepping the books and then recording them. I have other work I'm always auditioning for. If I'm watching TV, I watch a lot of British murder mysteries or something like that. But I just don't have a lot of time to.
I guess it's look so for like that. Within like your sphere of work. So yeah. It's like.
I'm aware of it all, but I just don't have a lot of time to watch it. Otherwise, I would.
Is there any like director or like character or show maybe that you've heard of that you would like to?
Well, doesn't everyone want to be in Attack on Titan? I mean, you know, Trina, Bryce, they're my favorite people. So if I could be in something with them, Dreams made.
That's like one of my favorite shows, yeah. Like of all time.
So that's
great. That would be amazing, like to have your voice somebody, especially considering like the contrast between Pokemon and Attack on Titan,
yeah,
which
that's
is
right.
far more mature.
I know, crazy. But anything, I just like to work. So I like the challenge that every role brings.
You've also done some voice work for Digimon for Lopamon?
I did, yeah.
Did that feel like you were betraying Pokemon in a little
Not at bit? All. I mean, they lived side by side. They always have. Although I wasn't as aware of Digimon because I was watching another channel. So I didn't know that it came out at the same time,
for me,
basically.
Like for me, it's so strange because I don't know if you know this, but Digimon is actually like built of Tamagotchi, like the Tamagotchi toys.
I did read that.
And yeah. I was like, I only like learned this like a few days ago, and I was so like weirded out because the evolutions never make sense to me, because Pokemon is very like straightforward, right. Like, okay, a fire lizard becomes a fire dragon sort of thing. So yeah. It makes sense. That's like a dinosaur becomes a fridge, and then you're like... I don't understand what's going on.
I know. It's a bit Transformer-ish.
And then like I actually saw something where they said, like, no, Digimon is based... It's tied into Tamagotchi. So it's based on, like...
That makes a lot of sense.
How you treat them.
Right, how you train them in that, like, if you're feeding them or if they die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But like I said again, it's amazing outlook you have on, you know, they kind of live side by side. Because the fandom is sort of like... Is it Pokemon or is it Digimon?
Look, there is so much room for everything. It's real life. There doesn't need to be competition. There doesn't need to be war. We all exist. We share. We are only as strong as the weakest among us. So it is up to us as human beings to bring each other up and along, because then we all thrive. We all succeed. So we don't need all this competition. Yes, for sports, it's fun. You know, you play the game or all of that stuff. It is healthy because it makes you become better. But to then be like, I'm the best, and then that's the whole thing. It isn't that. I won this game, you'll win the next one. We just keep trying to be our best. And that's, you know, it doesn't mean anything when you're the best. When you're the best, it doesn't mean, but when you're your best,
that didn't mean something.
That's important. Oh,
see, we're getting some like life lessons out of this.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. We don't need all of this stuff. We all have enough land. We don't need to invade other countries and take their land. We don't need to go and take people's Pokemon cards. You can find them somewhere else and buy your own. You know, like we exist. We coexist. And that's what we learned from Pokemon and a bunch of these animes especially. The messages are deep.
So a last few questions. Because we do cover video games, that's like our basis. You have done some video game work, and I know you've done some for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as April O'Neil.
Yeah.
But interestingly, I discovered that IMDb incorrectly credited you for doing work for Tekken 6 and 7, I think, as Leo. And
I can't get that changed. I haven't been able to erase those off of my...
How did that happen? Like, do you know?
I've never put anything on my IMDb or Wikipedia. I've never input any information. People have very generously noted things, and some of them are wrong. So,
so somebody put it down there.
But there's no way I can change it. So, it's been frustrating.
So now it's like always telling people, like, I actually didn't do that.
Yeah, it's hard because people are into certain things, and I hate to disappoint anyone.
No, but
that wasn't me.
But on the video game work that you have done, how different is it from like more sort of animated work, like your anime cartoons and that?
Emblem, Three Houses, Fire Emblem, Heroes. Like, I'm in those games. I've done World of Warcraft and... something else, I don't know. Other things. So nothing is, it's not all anime related. It's just whatever I get the audition for.
And how different is like the voiceover process between like...
For all video games, you're really just, you're just doing the voice live. And then you're just imagining it. You're not going to picture it all. They draw everything later on. So the video games are all the same in that sense.
Okay, so it's sort of like, these are the scripts, these are the lines.
Yeah, you just go down each line. I think for Fire Emblem, we do have conversations. Okay. So you do get to see the line of the person opposite you in okay. the scene. But otherwise, it's you just don't know.
Yeah, I've always wondered, like, what's yeah. that process? Like, do you just read all the lines or then... Because they use dialogue,
you
obviously.
Read it all, and then they put it somewhere. Okay. And then there's also attack sounds, but you have to make it somewhat neutral so they could use it in different places.
Okay. I have another question. Mm-hmm. It's a little off the cuff, and I actually think you're the perfect person to explain this. So South African accents are always notoriously difficult for like Americans to do. Well, I don't know. Like
I cannot do South African yet.
Because I've always heard like it's flat. So first and foremost, what does that mean? And like,
it's like
why?
Like even if you're doing Australian, it's kind of flat in here because your mouth is flat. It's not round. Like, hi, how are you? If you're kind of Southern, it's all round. But if you're talking in here, it's kind of flat. Like they're here, and then so South African is a bit more.
It's almost the opposite of like what you. Would
yes,
you say?
It's it
like,
is. Yeah, like and the, it's to, a bit more. Maybe if you're really cutting it up, it's a little more choppy. But I just haven't gotten the placement of that yet. I have to stay here longer.
Because I'm always like, but why is it so difficult? Because I know like
it's all different. If you talk to five different people here, their accents are all different. So it's hard to glom on to one thing. Okay. And then once you hit one thing, then you can expand out to the different regions.
Yeah, because like, I mean, Matt Damon in Invictus, and then you have
yeah, and he had a vocal coach. So his vocal coach coached him to do those sounds. So that was where it went. And for, you know, the
Leo
character
as
he's
well.
Playing.
Because like even like we would say as South Africans, we'll be like, no, that's a bit off, you
but,
know.
But it's because of the how they're coached and what regionality they were using for that. So it's not, nothing's going to be exact because everyone sounds so different.
No, but thank you so much for.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome.
I'm still like fanboying over. Yeah, it's been amazing to like finally speak to you and yeah, like. You have been basically the voice of our childhood.
Oh, thank you. This has been such a pleasure. Thanks. I wish I was in Cape Town longer, but the next time we'll meet up. Or we'll meet up on Zoom.
You need to ask us like what you want to do. If
come
anything.
And talk to me and Rina. We'll do that after this.
You need to let us know. Like yeah,
I will.
That would be amazing. Like,
I will.
But thank you so much for
your time.
You're
welcome. Thank you. And I just wanted to end by saying, coffee and controllers, I choose you. Stay awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that's all we have time for. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, the listening, but also the episodes will be up on YouTube. And then yeah, is there anything else?
And like, tell us if we must be at Comic Con in Joburg. Voice the people.
No, we're going to start the GoFundMe, okay? For you guys to pay for our flights to go to Comic Con. Safe. Okay, I'm Yasin Bones.
I'm Shadley Desai.
I'm Brad.
Saeed.
And this is the Coffee and Controller podcast.
Bye.